That is. Have a seat for just a minute, if you would. We all go through cycles, and we go through things that we're thinking about, and that was kind of me. I thought I was going to bring some stuff out of the book of Revelation tonight, because that's the direction I've been studying for our Thursday night home meetings over at Brother Kyle's place, but then it just hit me late yesterday. I wanted to go a different direction. And the subject matter I'm going to go into is very familiar to you, and it's one of those things that I think we need encouragement on every once in a while as reminders, because it's kind of like a teaching on body, soul, and spirit. Every time we teach on it, it reminds us about all these other senses we've got working on us that sometimes pull us away from the Word of God and who we are down in our soul. And so we need those reminders. So that's the direction we're going tonight. And so stay with me. We're going to do an awful lot of reading off of the slides. You can read off the slide. We'll only have one Bible verse we're going to read. And we'll just go in that direction. So be patient with me. We got lots of slides and lots of reading, but I hope it'll all fit together to boost your faith. And the songs were taking us right in the correct direction, and Brother David was right down the same channel when he was up here on the prayers too. So I just feel like the Holy Ghost is moving us in that direction. So if you wouldn't mind, stand now for the reading of the Word. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I think the answers to that are obvious. But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, of course, he goes on in to talk about love, but we're going to talk on a subject where there's a better way too, and it'll make sense to you as we get into it. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll let you be seated. Lord Jesus, take the subject tonight. It's kind of walking on thin ice in a way, and I just pray you'll guide me in my direction and thoughts and the delivery that I bring, Lord, that the people will be edified, you glorified, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk a lot about divine healing plus some other subject matter. And Brother Branham brought us a good balance that we don't believe in divine healing to the point of doing away with the medical profession. And so I'm not trying to do that. Neither am I trying to make somebody feel bad because they ended up at the doctor or in a hospital, because I've been to many doctors and in the hospital, as you know. So don't try to interpret any of that into this. I'm only trying to lift up what God has offered us in the way of divine healing and the supernatural. And so don't take it anything personal, like, well, brother so-and-so, he this or he that, therefore he must think he doesn't have faith. That's not the issue at all. The issue is God's done things for us, and we need to apprehend them every time that God will generate the faith for us to get a hold of it, and then it needs to be ours. All right, so are we... there we go. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. Okay, here's our basic subject matter, health and healing, and your own role in each. And we're going to talk about health, we're going to talk about healing, and some of the negatives and some of the positives. And some of this is just very fact-finding, and some of it kind of dynamites the medical industry, but it's facts. And so I'm not trying to put down our nurses, or if we had doctors or any of that, because they have their place, but we need to understand what's going on out there. Because as you'll find in the quotes as we go on, that the direction the world is going with plagues and diseases and bacteria and bugs, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because judgments are settling in on our nation. And so we've got to get into a place where we're, let's say, as best as possible, immune to those things. Brother Branham, in this sermon where he preached the indictment, and he says, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then the next part now is the quote. He says, it could not have been done a few years ago. I say 50 years ago, it could not have been done. But today, this is very timely, and it could not have been done maybe 10 years ago. He did this in July 1963. This sermon was preached. But it can be done today because the time is run out. So this is after the opening of the seven seals. We're at the end, and I believe as his servant that we are just about to cross from this land to another. Therefore, the time of repentance for a nation, it's gone. I believe that this nation cannot repent. I believe that it's crossed the line between mercy and judgment. So if you know the stories in the Old Testament, when they crossed the line, God was patient for a certain amount of time, and then he had to act. And he's the same God today, so he has to act. Some things that happened in the natural in the Old Testament become spiritual in the New Testament, and some are natural. And so we just have to kind of watch what's going on there. So this is the scripture that we just read, reading together now. Milk, it used to be our most balanced diet was milk. The doctors will tell you, stay away from it. It makes sinus and everything else. It's the same human being that used to drink it 5 years and never for years and never no sinus, but the interbreeding and so forth has broke down the structure of the human being till it's nothing but a bunch of muck, a ball of sickness. What's done it? Science. Look, it caused the genes between the man and the woman to weaken, physical weakness of the human being through the genes. And the increase of spastic children is around 30%. Mongoloid children is on a great climb. He said, let every seed bring forth of its own kind. Excuse me. When we hold that thought, Genesis 1, 11 and 12 along there, that every seed bring forth of its own kind. Man was created to eat seed that has brought forth of its own kind because it's natural. Man, science steps in and wants to improve everything and take a little bit of the best of this, a little bit of the best of that, and make a crop that's more resistant to that or better tasting or whatever. But in everything they do, it's off the wrong tree. Consequently, it has a bad side effect. It weakens the body. It may make a more profitable commercial crop, but it weakens the body because the dollar is the first thing in all this. See where we're at. I could go on and on. Our time's getting away. But notice what's doing it. Science has brought death, sickness, and destruction. Pesticides and your health. You can see where I'm going. That was on to science now. This is quotes off of the various websites. One of the most insidious and harmful chemicals in our environment today is pesticides. Pesticides go by a variety of names like insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, bactericides, anything that is designed to kill weeds, bugs, bacteria, fungus is a pesticide. This includes weed prevention, weed abatement, mosquito fogging, bug bombs, ant spray, mosquito spray, termicides, rodent control, flea and tick spray, lice treatments, bees, crop spraying, wasp spray. Most people are unaware that they are a powerful neurotoxin. That's what damages your nervous system, affects muscular control and brain functions. Powerful carcinogen damages your heart, and an endocrine disruptor. Many glandular functions get messed up by these toxins. See the next slide. It was interesting to study pesticides, and back in World War I, when they developed poison gases, and of course they developed it to kill people, they suddenly realized that this kind of poison gases and things that they had also killed all the bugs. They said, well, if we can weaken it down, and because it works on the nervous system of humans or bugs, and if we can weaken it down, we can kill the bugs but not hurt the people. It does kill the bugs, but it still hurts the people. Doesn't kill them, but it still hurts them, because that's the thing that it's working on, is your nervous system. The endocrine system, the one that it says it debilitates it. When the endocrine system is disrupted, it leads to a variety of debilitating health conditions like low or high blood sugar, adrenal disorders, hypothyroidism, inability to handle stress, infertility, endometriosis, addiction, depression, anxiety, weight gain, and obesity, sexual disorders like low sex drive and ED, hormone imbalances, low sperm count, hyperactivity, increased cholesterol, and many more. All from stuff science has put into our offices, stores, homes, yards, cars, and even our food chain. Watch this. 12 fruits and vegetables with the most pesticide content. It says buy these organic if at all possible. The worst is at the top. And I'm sure we all eat some of these. I hope you can read it from there. Number one is celery, peaches, especially from Chile, strawberries, apples, blueberries, nectarines, bell peppers, spinach, kale, cherries, potatoes, grapes, or imported grapes. And look at many of those, and we eat them for their nutritional content, like blueberries or some of these other things. And yet most of them are so warped with their pesticides and things they've been sprayed with to keep them pretty that they do more damage than they do good. Interesting, huh? So this was another website that they listed these as the worst, and the items in red were not on the other list: bell peppers, red or green, cantaloupe grown in Mexico, apricots, green beans, cucumbers. And all of this now, this is the commercial stuff. We're not talking about the stuff that you know where it's grown or how it's grown, but this is commercially the normal stuff you find in the grocery store. Peeling and or washing helps some, but it is not the full answer. Only organic is safe if the producer holds true to organic rules in growing his crops. The best solution is know your grower and know how he's raising his crops. This is the least pesticide content, starting with the best at the top and working down. Onions, avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, mangoes, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, if not from Mexico, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potato, and honey, honeydew melon. Back on the other list of polluted stuff, when it had potatoes, I was amazed. I thought, potatoes, how can potatoes be polluted? They're underneath the ground. But it turns out that just before harvest time, they spray it with a real vines with a real deadly crop killer so that they don't have to mess with the vines so much when they're trying to harvest. So they put this heavy killing agent on there to make the vines die and shrivel up. And it gets into the potatoes. And then we eat it. Brother Branham made this comment. I named it alternative medicine. Now, sometimes in taking medicine, sometimes the medicine's not, it's good. The Bible says a merry heart doth good like medicine. Notice, but sometimes medicine won't always work the same on the person, and you have to take a chance on that. I was amazed here in Africa, if there might be a doctor near, how that God takes care of his people. A native told me that when they got a sore that wouldn't heal up, they would go out under an old wild orange tree and get an orange that was covered all over with mold and rub that mold in the sore. Penicillin. They knew it hundreds of years, and we just found it recently. Then we think they're dumb. God takes care of his own. If we'd spend more time praying, there'd be more things done. Now, if we notice that sometimes we can give a patient penicillin for pneumonia, it'll kill the germ, and sometimes we give it to another one and it kills the patient. You can't be too sure about it. His stripes never do that. Taking sides with Jesus, just to balance it out a little bit, Brother Branham said, whoops, I don't know why I keep doing that. It just keeps jumping on me. God is where medicine won't reach, certainly. Medicine is of God. So we hear this other side, but I'm bringing the negative side this morning. There is another side. I'm sure all the nurses and practitioners we have in our own church could testify to the good that's come out of the hospitals. I'm just waving the flag. Be careful. Let's take a cancer or anything you wish to take, tubercular, pneumonia, whatever you wish to do for any disease. Diseases are germs. Listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days there will be a germ warfare? That diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? But with the angel or who gave charge over these plagues was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was, seal of the Holy Ghost. Why, what kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church into that condition, immune? Continuing this same quote. I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And when the serum goes in, it'll inoculate you. Hallelujah. In the last days, I remember one time during the 30... This thing keeps bouncing off on me. I remember one time during the 37 flood, everybody had to take typhoid shots. And so I was escaping mine. I was a lineman, so I was out and gone. Some fellow walked up and said, "Have you got your shots yet?" And I said, "Yes, I got my shot." And he says, "Did it make you sick?" He said, "Oh, no, nope, it sure didn't." He said, "When did you get your shot?" He said, "Oh, about 3 years ago." 3 years, he said, "Well, you ought to take another one." He says, "I get one about every hour, brother." He says, "All right." He says, "I was just going on to him." But look, friend, the time is coming that when there is a rising up of a church, if you can't have faith for divine healing, how are you going to have faith for the rapture? We've got to move out, friend. We've got to get out of this old, slow church condition that we're in. Step out. Launch out. Cut the shorelines and get out somewhere where you'll lose all sense of fear and doubt. And there where all things are possible, brother, just as free as it can be. Now, that's the kind of church that's going to be one of these days, according to the Bible. One of these days, divine healing is going to be a great thing among the people. So let's get in condition. I had a little incident with myself just a few days ago. Back several months ago, I had been going to a chiropractor, and they had some new computerized program that they were treating things with. They had sorted out different electronic vibrations for different parts of your body, different organs in your body, and they were trying to resync those vibrations. And there's a truth there. I don't know whether they've found it fully yet, but they have a truth. So they were taking me through various things, checking on allergies and stuff. And so one day the gal asked me, she says, do you have any particular thing that's bothering you? I said, yeah, I have to get up too many times in the night. You think you can do anything for that? And so she set this little computer and got the vibrations all going right for everything having to do with that part of my body. And she gave me this treatment, and bingo, right away, no more getting up. It was just fantastic. But then several months later, it started coming back again. And I thought, ah, man, this is awful. So then there was a few months of this up at night, up at night, up at night, up at night. And then I got to thinking just a few days ago, I thought, God, you're greater than a computer program. If a computer can fix me, surely you can fix me. God, I claim your fix instead of that computer fix. That's it. I haven't gotten up at night anymore. God's great. Listen, today we need divine healing worse than we ever did need it. And as the days go on and on, so will it be more and more needed. Now, these are the kind of things is the reason I went the direction that I'm going. Because we've got a prophet saying, you're going to need divine healing. He doesn't say you're going to need more doctors and more hospitals. He said you're going to need more divine healing. And so we can see by the reason I gave you those statistics before was to show you that feeding off of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not quite sure which way it's going to fall because it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But not so with the promises of God. And it'll come to pass after a while that unless a man is sealed with the Holy Ghost, his heart, he's laid himself open for all kinds of things. Come not nigh any of those who has the seal of God in their forehead when them tremendous plagues begin to fall. We're at the junction, the crossroads now. So God said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Rewarding means one who pays wages, a rewarder. So we can get his wages by diligently seeking. Brother Branham repeated this exhortation 56 times in various ways that I could find. When he says the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. Amen. That's believe with no excuses and confess your belief. Amen. Brother Branham then went on to say, you plant corn, you water corn, and you leave it alone, and it'll produce corn. You plant a seed of healing, you plant it, you water it, leave it alone. Don't dig it up. Amen. Don't examine it. Just leave it alone. It'll produce the healing. So here's the one our church uses the most. It says, well, that we can see here. Is any among you afflicted, troubles or hardships? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, that's thus saith the Lord. And if you remember, they dwell on that scripture in the Church Age book. That if you would just get in the spirit before you come forward for prayer, so that you've got that assurance God's word is true. Amen. Then when you come forward and the elders lay hands on you, not because the elders are super dupers, it's because God said, Amen. Elders. Amen. Then the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. God said. Yes. And so if we can just get a hold of that, that's an absolute.
That's right. That's right.
But instead we come up looking for a feeling,
right,
instead of focusing on the word. Man, I didn't feel anything. I don't feel any difference. Has nothing to do with it. You have applied the word, and that will do it. Amen. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not from the elders' hands only are there promises of healing. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, Brother Branham, and I only remember it in one place. Some of you other students of the message may remember more. I only remember one where Brother Branham says, now the mistake of Pentecost was they tried to take that scripture and apply it to everybody in the church. He said it doesn't work that way. But he says, in the midst of every believing group, these things will be going on. Are you with me? But when you try to make it follow every single individual believer, we'll have a little bit of a problem, because there are different callings. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the gift of miracles? No. But we can expect it to be in our midst, absolutely, assuredly. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Isn't that interesting? Which is committed unto me, Paul said, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Cannot lie. Cannot lie.
Amen.
Cannot lie. God cannot lie. Don't want you to forget that. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. When it's quoted in the New Testament, it says we were healed. So it's an absolute again. With his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we were healed. That's why Brother Bram said, if Jesus was standing here in this suit that he gave me and you said, please heal me, he'd say, I already did.
Amen.
So it's not a matter of Jesus laying his hands on you. It's you appropriating what he's already done for you. It's yours. Here he came back in 1956. And now, if you're dealing with sin, now maybe you've never sinned, but there might be a sin that your father did, your grandfather did. He said he'd visit the iniquity of the parents upon the third and fourth generation. And each generation gets weaker, wiser, as the Bible said, but it's all as a result of sin. But before sin ever came into the world, there was no sickness in the world. And sickness came through the fall, and the fall was sin, and sin is unbelief. How can you, brother, teach the gospel without including divine healing? Can't be done. It's inseparable. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we were healed. Same Christ, same day, same blood. It all took care of sin and healing. Same day, same Christ, same blood. Sickness is a penalty of sin. All sickness comes from sin. May not directly be your sin, but inherited. Before we had any sickness, we had no sin. But when sin came, sickness is an attribute or result of sin. And you cannot deal with sin in any manner lest you deal with sickness.
Amen.
And you can't deal with sickness lest you deal with sin. They both run side by side.
Amen.
I just hope that'll sink in.
Amen.
Because most people can reach back and take a hold of Calvary and say, praise God, I'm saved. But then when they want to reach back and take a hold of divine healing, they immediately start sending signals all over the body. Do I feel anything? Do I feel any different? Do you feel saved? Do you feel saved? Do you feel healing? Sometimes yes, on both, and sometimes no. You're just standing on the Word. And the Word will bring it to pass. God cannot lie. If a great animal had me here tonight and his paws was in me, just cutting me, but his mouth wasn't bothering me, his paw was in me, there's not a need for me trying to cut off his toe or cut off his paw or what he's sticking me with. Knock him in the head and kills the whole thing. That's right. And when you hit sin in the head, you kill sickness with it.
Amen.
And it's all got to be killed at the same time. You can't separate them. Amen. Now, my guess, if I could measure your minds at this moment, at least 80% of you, when I read sin, are thinking things you do. But prophet keeps telling us, sin is unbelief. Sin is unbelief. We have certain habits in our life because we have an area of unbelief in that area that God won't deliver me, can't deliver me, or we some reason why we're stuck with this thing. But once you can just get rid of that reason, then God's right there to apply his word to your life. Whether it's habits or sickness, God's there. But as long as Satan can reason with your mind as to why, well, I do this because, or I have this condition because, so then you're saying, but and God is littler than my condition. God is bigger than any condition. Amen. There might be many promises in the Bible that I haven't faith enough to perform. It's the same anyhow. I believe it. Obesity among Americans is epidemic. Here's some rules one fellow put on the web. It says, never eat after dinner. Eat 3 meals a day. Do not eat large meals. Eat a breakfast with containing protein. Reduce the amount of carbohydrates eaten. I'm just starting a diet that I got a suggestion from somebody on to lose a few more pounds. I started on one. I've lost 12 pounds, praise God. But I want to lose some more. And that one is you don't eat any carbohydrates after 2 o'clock. Eat all you want, but no carbohydrates, and load up on protein if you want. And I'm just starting that one. I'll let you know what happens. In addition to following these 5 rules, eating higher quality food and consistently exercising, a person can add various dietary supplements that enhance the function of metabolism and the actual fitness of your fat. You can have fit fat, believe it or not, because there are certain things your body needs in the way of fat. But the stuff that you get from high fructose corn syrup and trans fats and all those kind of things, those things are deadly. If you're really trying to eat healthy and you want to get rid of high fructose corn syrup and hydrogenated oils, because those are the two worst, I think, and yet you go down a grocery store place and start reading everything, almost everything has one or both of those in there. I went through the cracker aisle one time looking for just plain old crackers to eat with cheese, and I didn't want either high fructose or hydrogenated oils. And I went, looked at every box, and you know there's a aisles long. One company didn't have it. All the rest of them did. And if you read about that stuff, it is garbage to your body. This opens the door for solutions to even stubborn weight management, weight problems. There are no quick fixes or miracle pills to take, but there is a common sense path to a workable solution for most people. The reason I touch on this is because overweight is like I've got up here, an epidemic in America. Most of it, I can't say that. A great part of it is our American diet.
Yes.
Highly processed foods with almost no nutrition left in them. You fill your stomach with stuff, but you're not really, really eating. And they talked about the obesity in children in school. And they said if you really watched what most schools serve the kids at lunchtime, they said it just is almost like junk food. Most schools, maybe not all. Jesus couldn't come to redeem us from just sin without redeeming us from sickness or all the things that goes with it, even to death. He redeemed us from death. When Jesus dealt with sickness or sin at Calvary, he had to deal with the head of it, which was sin. And so doing, he dealt with the sickness with it. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. So Jesus went about healing all manner of sickness. And then in Matthew 10:1, it says, and he called unto him his 12 disciples and gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So it didn't stop with Jesus. He put that right on and down to those whoever's his representative on earth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Out of most afflictions? No. All. 100% total. Nothing left out. He delivers you from them all. Just a few of his promises, his assurances. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. All these things.
Amen.
Power of the spoken word, plus or minus. You believe that God has healed you, confess it. And God will make your body obey your confession, for he's the high priest of your confession.
Amen.
I love that quote.
Amen.
God will make your body obey your confession. God will. Your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that and you say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. See, don't you let the devil know that. Always say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. Amen. John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. How many times do you kneel down in prayer and some little something you did or said or some way you acted blocks you completely from feeling like you can get a hold of God and claim anything? But the scripture says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. He said, if you'll confess your sins, I'll forgive you your sins instantly, instantly. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And there again, the keeping his commandments, most minds jump to the law. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But he said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, on his Son Jesus Christ. You believe that?
Yes.
And love one another. You believe that?
Yes.
As he gave his commandment. The clock ticks about the achievement of science today, so it's 3 minutes till midnight. Oh, God's great clock, it ticks, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've arrived. The works that I do shall you also. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When science clock says 3 minutes to destruction, God's clock says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is on the earth in the power of the Holy Ghost to make his word live and do for his church just exactly what he promised it would do, filling his astronauts and getting them all fueled up and ready. Amen. Getting all fueled up and ready. You feel all fueled up and ready? Praise God. Well, I wanted to wave a warning flag and encourage you with the promises. All the promises, every promise in the book is mine, mine, mine. Amen. We've got a baptism tonight. Brother Daniel Maloney wants to be baptized. Brother Branham said if they're old enough to ask, they're old enough to be baptized. So I guess Jim and Julie, if you've got Daniel back there, if you want to bring him forward. And Brother Chad, if you want to meet him in the back there, they can get ready for water baptism. They get ready for that. And while we're doing that, musicians, you can come on up. And Brother Jeff Suchar wanted prayer also. Unless you feel like you've got what you want already. No, he wants prayer, okay. Brother Jeff's got some kind of infection on his foot. And it's bad enough that it's actually starting to turn green. So, not good. Brother David and the other ministers, elders in the church that want to come forward and pray with Jeff. That's your good right there.
It's my left ankle area. And because of what actually happened in 1975, my circulation is bad.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like greenish and grayish stuff in there. There's a whole in my skin. You could, my wife told me there was pressurizing. She said severe nerve roots.
Oh, yeah. That sounds and, like MRSA eating away at you.
Yeah, I see Dr. Barry tomorrow at 3:30, but I just want to make sure, I just want the Lord's
name. Amen. The infection's bad enough that it's beginning to eat the skin away up near his ankle, so let's pray that the life will leave that thing.
Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, we come before you with the authority that you gave us, not that we have power, but we have authority. And as elders, we lay hand on our brother, we rebuke this infirmity, we call for the life that's eating at his flesh to leave. It's not supposed to be there. And God, may the life depart, because God will enforce the word to bring it to pass in his body. We claim this healing in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Praise God.
Well, this is a wonderful day. It's exciting. Thank God that I can be a part of it. I hate that Brother Jeff wasn't able to be here, or Brother Bob, but I'm very glad that I was. Brother Daniel, I talked to him for a few minutes, and he just confessed that a few weeks ago that he asked Jesus into his heart, and he wanted to be a Christian. And he wanted to be baptized because he wanted to live for Jesus. So I'm just so thankful for that confession and so glad that God still moves on the hearts of young and old alike. Brother Daniel, go ahead and cross your arms over your chest and hold your nose. Lord Jesus, we're going to baptize this young man. And God, we do it with all sincerity in our hearts, knowing what a wonderful thing you've done in his life to give him the assurance of salvation, Lord. God, as we baptize him, I pray, Lord, that you would keep him, that you would prepare him for the work that you've called him to do. Lord, we thank you for getting a hold of a heart. We thank you, Lord, that you still work in the hearts of your children. And we ask that you would bless him in Jesus' name. Brother Daniel, because you've confessed that Jesus Christ has saved you from your sins and you want to identify publicly with him, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I lay hands on this young brother. Lord, he has fulfilled the word to this point. He's done what you've called him to do. He's repented of his sins. He's asked forgiveness. He's come to the water pool to be identified with you in your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And Lord, you've promised that he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I lay hands on him and I ask, Lord, that you would grant unto him this Holy Ghost baptism that would keep him all the days of his life, so that your light might shine in his life and he might be a lighthouse in this wicked, evil world, and that you might use him for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, say to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflict and sorrow fly. So sinful, so weary, I'm thine, would I be? Thou blessed rock of ages, oh, I'm hiding in thee. I'm glad to hide in him. Hiding in thee, oh, I'm hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Let's stand as we sing it. The noontide in sorrows blown out, in times when temptation cast o'er me its fire, in the tent. rock of ages. Oh, I'm hiding in thee. I'm hiding in thee. Hallelujah. I'm hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages. Oh, I'm hiding in thee. Amen. Hiding in him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the same God who spoke to the woman at the well. He's the same God who's one are too many to tell. The same God who pardoned the raging Red Sea, and he's the same God living in me. Sing it again. Yes, he's the same God who spoke to the woman at the well. He's the same God who's far too many. What we've done, but what he's done. Amen. Yes, he's the same God who spoke to the woman at the well. He's the same God whose wonders who are too many to tell. He's the same God who parted the raging Red Sea. Let's just worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We have heard your word and felt. Raise our hands and we sing it again. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We have
Lord Jesus, as we bow before you once again, we thank you for the things we've heard tonight, Lord. Lord, we know we want to look up, Father, for we know our redemption is drawing nigh. We see all these things coming to pass, Lord. We know, God, it's only your hand that keeps us each day, Lord. We're resting in your promises. We're resting on what you've done, Lord. Not on our own abilities, Lord, not what we can do, but, Lord, to seek your face, Lord, to let you have your way in our lives. For we know, Lord, that you'll bring us through it all. We just commit ourselves into your hands with this evening, Lord, asking that you go with each one in a special way. May you be near each one, Lord. As they work tomorrow, go to school, whatever the situation be, Lord, may you just take a hold of each one's hand, Lord. May we hold your hand, Lord. May you walk with us, Lord, as we go our ways, Lord. We just commit the evening into your hands. We thank you for all that you've done, for all that we've heard this evening, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you for the baptism, Lord. May that little life go on to be, have a closer walk with you, Lord. We ask that you just fill him and be near him in a special way. We just give you praise for it, Lord. We just ask that you direct each one, Lord, this evening. As they go on their ways home, may you give protection and guidance throughout the night, Lord. May our hearts and minds be upon you when we're awake, Lord. May we just sing praises to you. May we talk to you, look to you, love you with all of our heart. We ask these things and we commit it in your hand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise God. Praise God. We worship. You're dismissed. You in spirit and in truth, we worship you. In spirit and in truth, we have heard your word and felt your presence too. And hears me when I call.